Apparently, Brett was over there working on his monitor, but has a fun fact related to the Brian Adams fixed? Discussion no. we had.
Are you fixed yet?
Nope.
Damn.
Smash it.
Tried.
The monitor apparently is a problem. So we're
go old about- school Iraqi taking down the Saddam statue and hit it with your shoe.
Go office space on it and just take a bat.
I throw my shoe on it, but it ducks like George Bush.
Put a rope around it and pull it down. That's it.
Unreal.
So we're talking about Brian Adams' racist tweet.
Speaking of pot, we talked about it in San Francisco, and Brian Adams, the first time I smelt pot was at a Brian Adams concert when I was 10.
Who told you it was pot?
Nobody, but I realized what it was years later.
Years later, you realized that the first time you smelled it?
Right. Because I was 10, you know, so you like everything when you're 10 years old.
Right.
And we saw Brian Adams at the Nassau Coliseum, home of the Islanders. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, what is that smell? And I'd like switch seats with my dad or whatever. And
Did he tell you?
No. I'm just like, they're smoking over here. You know, just thinking like, whatever. Like, they're smoking something over here that doesn't smell like a cigarette.
But you're 10, you don't think twice about it.
Yeah, I don't think twice. And years later, I'm like, wait a minute. That's what that smell was. Okay.
Can you imagine somebody be like, cannot wait to smoke this joint at Brian Adams tonight. It's going to be awesome.
When Kelly was like 13, went to see the Eagles at the Garden. That's the one where I dozed off. She smelled weed for the first time that it affected, like, enough that it affected her, and she had an asthma attack, had to go to the bathroom, had to use the inhaler.
The inhaler?
Susan had to take her to the ladies' room.
Right.
So she's like, Mommy, is that weed?
I worked.
Because it's... And then she started getting all, like, you know, stuffy. And all.
I worked a show at... I worked an Eric Clapton show when he was doing that blues stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like a blues tour.
Yeah.
I have never been in a more smoke-filled room in my life. And I'm not... It wasn't in a club. It was in the Coliseum.
It was in a big place.
It was... And I've never been in that much smoke, ever. And I go to cigar lounges.
Yeah.
I've never been in that much smoke. Never.
That is messed up.
Never.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first time I smelled it, though.
First time I smelled it was definitely on a school bus. Freshman year of high school. Because
that's probably it.
Freshman, nobody was smoking weed in 7th or 8th grade. So it had to be freshman year the bus. And it was always that guy in the back. It was always that little guy, Dave, and Barry. Those guys were way ahead of us. They were like maybe a year older than only, but they were already smoking weed like crazy. So that's
the bus driver
used to yell, "Hey, no!" It was Augie, this old German guy. I swear, he was like fresh out of a uniform.
Augustus, save Augie. Some room for later.
Hey, you boys, I smelled the funny stuff. No, smoke the funny stuff. He'd wag his bony finger at you or whatever.
So that was it. Was Augustus the original what for?
Augie.
He gave the guy, no. Augie gave him the what for.
Yeah,
in the back.
No, that was just how he'd look in the mirror, and then he'd do nothing about it. Nobody cared. They laughed. Come on, Augie, we'll give you some later. And he'd like laugh.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I smelled it.
My next door neighbors used to grow
my
it.
My life.
So really? If I had to guess where I smelled it the first time, it was probably them.
I was five, and there was a party going on downstairs, and there was Michael Jackson's Off the Wall was playing, and I was like, what is that smell? And then I woke up in the morning, and there were bongs everywhere, and I had to help clean up.
But even then, you didn't know what they were. It's not until years later when you realized what it was.
I didn't know what a bong was. I just knew it was always there after the parties. Yeah, that's it. That's the song that was playing, and it walked upstairs.
How clear that is for a five-year-old.
Dancing and drinking. Man. There's a party going on downstairs. And my mom was growing it in the second bedroom, so there were heat lamps and all of that. Yeah.
I haven't done a bong hit in years.
Long, long time.
I used to miss it.
It was like burnt orange.
Dude, you used to walk in my first apartment. It was like furniture. I had a big smiley face bong that was glass.
Smiley face.
Yeah, it was a big smile, like, you know, the have a nice day guy thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was the whole day. It was just a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
Glass. It had like a bulbous at the end, at the bottom, and then put some ice cubes in it to cool the smoke down.
Mm. Did you have a name for your bong? Is that
no?
I had somebody to know.
Not that I remember.
Name.
Billy Bong Thornton. All right.
This is so great,
Bong Cassidy.
Hop a bong, Cassidy. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I tell you this, man. I haven't taken in any smoke in my lungs in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
If somebody had a piece of hash, I would buy it and I would smoke it.
Because now, is hashish? Is that hashish? And is it stronger than marijuana? Or
it's not that it's stronger. To to me, it was always just cleaner. It was like a, it was like more fun.
Smooth.
But it was smoother. But I love the smell. I love the smell. Like I love the smell of it. I love the taste of it. I love the high of it. To this day, if somebody, if I came across somebody and they said, "Yeah, I got hash," I'd buy it. Now,
allegedly,
like, right now, I would buy it.
Is it legal up there? Allegedly, you would buy it.
No, it's not legal. No, it's not allegedly. I would buy it.
Okay. I'm just
today. Right. If a cop offered it to me, I'd buy it from him.
It's that good.
Yeah.
I only, this funny thing is, I don't remember the smell or the taste. I just know it was smooth. The one time I remember is at a ZZ Top concert, like 1980 or something. Me and my buddy Carl were there, and it just rocked him. There's a guy next to us. We didn't know. Just was like, "Hey, you guys want some?" And he had like a ceramic little flat. Like, I don't know what you call it, pipe, I guess. I don't know what it's called. It was a flat ceramic thing with a hole, so whatever that's called. And so we tried it. We don't know what we're doing. And Carl disappears to the bathroom, and I feel like it's been a few minutes. I'm like, "Oh, I wonder where he is." Guy next to me gave me a hatch. He goes, "You should really go check on your buddy. I think he went to the bathroom. It's been a while, like an hour and a half. So it's probably been a half an hour, but I go check. He's got his head under the sink faucet, water rolling down his face. He's holding his cowboy hat in the air. He's like, just water running. Like, "Carl, what's going on? What's God, what? And he like shakes it off. He's like, puts a hat on. "Okay, ready to go." And he comes out and we watch the rest of the show. It was great.
My buddy, Craig, when he was in the Navy, came back from Egypt with a piece of hash the size of my fist.
Oh, boy.
And then he came back with that, and he came back with acid.
Isn't hash got those people like in jail in Turkey? Like, should you not be carrying that on airplanes and across country borders and stuff?
He was in the Navy.
I feel like
I don't know.
Wow.
That taste. And then we used to roll hash joints. So if you had hash, we'd take it. Like, if you were rolling a joint, you take the hash. And if you just put a lighter underneath it, it would soften up that you can just crumble it. And you'd put that on the...
And Monica, with all the exposure you had to weed, you never, when you became like a rebellious teenager, had any inkling you never smoked weed once?
No desire.
Never once.
No desire.
Even though you had that smell from when you were five.
Yeah. And like I said, it was just
crazy
always
to me.
There. Yeah. I mean, it was never. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe just because it's always there, it just has the opposite effect. If it's forbidden, it's different.
When I first started working at the radio station, the one we do our morning show on, there was this guy, Ralph. I don't know if he was doing middays or afternoons or at the time, whatever it was. But I idolized this dude. Mm. I don't know why. I just did.
He's the man.
And we were out somewhere and he's like, we're doing a gig somewhere, and he goes like, "Do you want some?" I'm like, "What is it?" He's like, "Hash." I go, "Yes. Yes, I do."
I feel like you're going to get your
hash. He's like, "Yeah, man, I'll get it for you anytime. I got my, I got a guy. I'll get it for you anytime." Okay. Good to know.
Pat's on line one. Hey, Pat, Roger, JP, what's going on?
Good to know.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, so growing up, my older brother, he was 10 years older than me. And we had rooms across the hallway from each other. So, and I was 6 or 7, he's 16, 17. We just had drastically different, lifestyles. And there was always this unique smell about my brother's room that I just could never put my finger on it, but smelling it would take me right to his bedroom and I can just see how it was set up and everything. And it's an older house, so it's like old wood in there. So the mixture just kind of did it. Well, fast forward, 10 years or so, I'm now his age. He's moved out, and I moved into his old room. And I partook for one of the first couple times, and that smell hit me. And I was like, "Oh, that's it. That's it. That's what I've been smelling my entire life across the hall from me. That's it."
Where were your parents, though? They didn't know?
Well, my mom worked nights and my dad worked during the day. So, 10 years different. He was 16. He's watching me while the parents work, AKA.
I know that.
In the room partaking.
But if you, okay, so he was getting high and watching his little brother. That's good.
Yeah. Hey, my dad's 71, man. He grew up in the prime time, graduated high school in 1966. So to say he doesn't party a little bit would be wrong. So we all grew up, we're all successful and have families and stuff. So, nothing happened to us. We're all
right. I like how you had the aha moment years later, just like Brett did, where it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. I know what that was.
I finally understood what that was. I was like, I get it. It's the just the mixture of his room and pot, and that's been my life. It brings me back to a small child. I love it.
Thanks, Pat.
Did you ever tell your brother? Did you ever talk to your brother about it?
100%. I've told him about it. He wouldn't let me smoke with him until I turned 18. The day I turned 18, we smoked together, and I told him that story that day. I said, you know, growing up my whole life, there was always this smell about your room, and I never figured it out until I got to move in there, and I did the same thing you did when you were my age.
And the funny part is, he wouldn't smoke with you until you were 18, right. But he was babysitting for you when you were 6, and he was high as hell.
And he was 16.
And he was 16.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, I know. That'll make a great pair.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Later, thanks, buddy. Sledge is online, too. What's up, Sledge?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Congratulations, Shmoopy, on the move in the new place.
Thank you.
No, I can say, like, vivid memory. Bus driver that I had in high school, Mrs. Andrews, remember her name, she's cool as can be. But she would let us smoke cigarettes, it was fine, but we were the metalheads in the back of the bus that would be smoking weed. She'd be, you know, that mirror is on top of the where they look back.
Yep.
Yeah.
She'd have her eyes on us the whole time saying, put that marijuana cigarette out. Well, one time we decided to get smart and bring a bong in the back of the bus, and we hit the speed bump. When you come in, I had bong water all over me.
Ugh.
I reeked like bong water all day.
You cannot get rid of the smell of bong juice.
Ugh.
No way.
Ugh. Horrible.
All right. I just wanted to share a little bit of Sledge. All right, man. Later.
Thanks, Sledge.
The good old days.
Bong water. Never had that.
On the carpet. You know what happened?
That happened in the dorm room.
Tell you
sure.
exactly what happened. John Catt decided he was going to put the ice cube in the bong, and I guess there was either not enough water in it, and the ice cube shot right through the bottom of the glass, shattered it, bong juice all over the floor, all over the carpet.
Oh, wow. That's a weird one.
Yep.
My dorm roommate, who I've mentioned before, Tony Bones, the first time they had this bong with like two little things on the side where you could do shotgun hits.
It's
not through the filter.
Right.
It's just like right out of the bowl of smoke. He's like, Raj, do a shotgun. And I'm like, all right. So my first, I'm like, all right, I'll try it. And of course I took too much because what do I know?
Right.
It's the hottest, roughest smoke ever in your lungs. And he was just hysterical. Tony Bones thought that was so hilarious. I might have been caught. I don't know. I feel like I was caught for an hour, and I can feel it in my lungs to this day.
Dude, before we started doing mornings together, and I was the promotions guy, they sent Roger and I out to L.A. I think I've told the story before. They sent Roger and I out to L.A. to do something for the Grammys. Now, at that time, I smoked a lot of pot. A lot. I don't smoke at all now, but at that time I smoked a lot of pot. And Raj was the straight dude. As far as this staff went in this building, Raj was by far the straight guy.
Yeah, I was doing afternoons at the time, and I don't think
I got him to smoke.
Oh yeah, I had young babies at home.
Early
90s. I might have just got married.
Might not even had the kids yet. Maybe you did, but I remember getting Raj to smoke, I felt like I climbed Everest. Because every pothead wants everybody else to be a pothead with
him. Right, right.
All That's of true. Them. Every one of you. Every one of us. When I got Raj to smoke when we were in L.A., I brought it with me. When I felt like I climbed Everest. Like I felt like that was the highest achievement I could have possibly...
Yeah, at that point, I don't think I was smoking much at all.
But no,
a few years before that with my roommate, I had been. And a couple years before that in college, I definitely had been.
Yeah.
So I was like on the downside of even caring. But why not? We were in L.A.
Right.
Do as the natives do.
Do what they do. I'll never forget that. So great. What's that name on line one?
Oh, B-Sai.
B-Sai?
I think.
B-Sai.
All right, B-Sai. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you, sir?
All right, how are you, What's sir?
I do like that conversation today about it, the hat. I'm originally from Egypt. We used to smoke hash back home. I think so. There's a way, way better, more than any kind of drugs around us in here. And I think it's really good. You give a fun, you give you relax. And when I move in the state, I try to smoke weed. and I don't like it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and the hash is way better as natural, more than any kind of drugs around us.
Right. Mm. All right.
Yeah, you're used to the good stuff. Good for you.
Right. Lucky bastard. Thanks, B-Zai.
Used to the good stuff.
Right.
Good just used to
for
it.
You.
Right.
Part of his bringing up, apparently. Mike on line 4. Hey, Mike.
Oh, the good old days.
Hey, y'all. How's everything going?
Good, buddy.
I was calling back when I was at UF back in the mid-90s. We had a 6-foot bong that we used to fill all the way up with ice and have fun with that.
Right.
And it takes two people, and two people can actually take the hit, which was so big.
Right, because you fill the chamber, but it would you'd have to fill that chamber. There's no way one person is filling up, is taking 6 feet worth of smoke in their lungs. Not happening.
No, it's never going to happen. And it was fun. It worked. And we left it behind for one of our roommates that stuck around, and he kept it. And I don't there know where go. He put it at the end. And also, Monica, when you moved, I bet the first box you did open was all your toys, and you stuffed them in all the drawers.
Right.
Priorities, my friend.
Did you rub one out in your new apartment yet?
That's the first thing I did after I saged it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so great. Take care, brother. Yeah. Are you just joking, or did you really?
No, I'm serious.
That a girl. Which room?
The bedroom. I went classic. I went
You don't want to start in front of the fireplace?
No, I'm good. That'll come eventually.
Porn? No porn? Or did you use the? Did you go to the spank bank? What'd you do?
Porn. I went.
Did
porn.
You?
Yeah.
Nice. What'd you watch?
Your classic threesome. It was all classic. It was all just this needs to be done. Let's get it done. Let's not
two chicks,
crazy.
One dude. Two yep. dudes, one chick.
No, two chicks, one dude. Porn threesome. Let's just stick with the classics that work. Let's just
got it. Stepmom walked in, or just
no. I don't understand why brothers or stepbrothers and moms. What is happening with those? You guys, I don't want any part of that.
You're very judgy.
Listen, you do you. I don't want any part of that at all. Weird.
Excuse me.
My dad's mean to me, but my stepmom is so hot.
I just out of curiosity, one time clicked it because just out of pure curiosity, like, is this really going to turn me on? And I like the storyline. So the whole thing is where the daughter is taking care of herself, and the mother walks in, or the stepmother, pardon me, walks in and says, "No, you're doing that wrong. Here's how you're supposed to do it." And then the stepbrother comes in and it's like, okay, you know, and it all goes down or whatever. But
right.
Or
you have the brother and his stepsister's got one of his girlfriends sleeping over. They end up having, like, you know, that whole thing. And then he's outside the door whacking it, and then they see him, and then they drag him in there, and then craziness happens.
That's all stupid hot except for the relations. Can we just not be related and do that exactly?
They're not related.
Thing?
They're stepbrother and sister. There's no blood.
It's the word brother and sister that's in there that I just cannot get past. I just can't seem to mentally get
it. Hey, listen, I didn't create the genre.
It's there, though. It's there a lot. It's almost like there's more of that than anything else. It's tough for me to find non-related people.
I will be honest. I feel like it has kind of overtaken. It's almost like the coronavirus of porn. Like once it gets
the
in
step situations
once it gets
over
in there,
milk.
No matter what page you go to, some stepbrother, mother's, father's, sister, whatever it is going to be on that page.
And why are we virus?
Right.
Why I need guys in my porn.
Why are we... going with the facade that they're younger, like because they like try to make they put the ponytails in their hair and like the high knee sock. Stop it.
See, that I don't watch. That's creepy.
It's really creepy. Stop it. Let's just get. We're all old enough. You know, it's bad enough we're related. Why we got to be underage? The whole thing is weird. The whole thing is way too.
That's
weird.
A, you need to be like the porn board of excellence.
Right. There should be a bar.
Raise the level. Monica's the chairman.
Ooh, I'm gonna get a gavel. I'm down.
Roger, JP, it's 102.5 The Bone, Real Raw Radio. Dead Guy in the Envelope, the game where you try to solve who the dead celebrity is, coming up around 12:15 or so. If you want to get in on any conversation, 800-771-1025 or 727-579-1025. We'll be right back.